The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia and KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. How are you doing today, Ronaldo? It's Furry Friday and it's TGIF.
Yes, it is. I was just going to say that, man. We made it to the end of the week. It's real fast.
You know, the weeks have been just blowing by as we continue to do the show from home. And, and today's Furry Friday, my favorite day of the week, actually, because it's the one day that I've always designated as the day that we help to educate people about the wonderfulness of animals, all animals on the earth, both our domesticated ones and our wild animals. And Furry Friday is officially brought to you by Castor and Pollux. It is the food, dog food, and cat food that I have been feeding my dogs and cats for years. I say this all the time, but people say, oh my gosh, Mick, he's 18 years old. How did he, because he's like a big Labrador mix. And I found him on the street when he was just under a year old, and he's entering his 19th year in the fall, you guys. And I have fed him Castor and Pollux for, about 6 years now. And it's the little raw bites that they have in their dog food. Plus, it's organic and it's sustainably sourced. It's just a great company overall, and I encourage you to support them because when you support them, you support One Life Radio, and it is actually the food that I use. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to endorse it. So, and they're actually it's so good to have a company that's out there that's not just making money off of animals, but actually supporting, platforms that educate people about the importance that they have in our life. And so I'm going to start this show, you guys. Are you ready with all of our big animal lineup today? We've got Ingrid Newkirk coming on in just a couple of minutes. She, of course, is the founder and president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA. And Patty Dawson with Dallas Dogger. We're going to be talking about rescue and rehabilitation and reform and how we can help during COVID-19. And of course, our regular Furry Friday guest, Maura Davies, is the vice president for marketing and communications at the SPCA, and that is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of Texas. Their website is simply spca.org. Always a pleasure. Maura, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Trying to stay inside though. Oh my gosh, it is boiling out there. Oh,
it is. There's a lot of humidity as well, you know, and so it is. It really is boiling. I actually the other day was coming home from the grocery store, kind of over off of Lovers and Northwest Highway, and and I saw a stray dog, which I thought was a stray dog walking down the street. It wasn't. Its owner was over sitting in the shade, but you know, I was there ready to rescue it, and the guy just gave me a big thumbs up, like, you know, thank you, you know, a big thank you. Which is nice, because, and it was nice to know that the dog had an owner, and, you know, it always feels good, you know, as well Definitely. As I do to help animals. It's something that just gives you such great rewards back. It really does.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Well, Definitely. You know, today
it's so important to make sure that they're safe.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's summer, as you said. It's hotter than a bejesus out. And so we're going to talk about more tips for summer pet safety. So why are certain dogs more at risk for heat exposure? And which breeds should we watch out for more?
Yes. Well, there are certain dogs. There are certain specific breeds. There are certain animals that may be either they're very, very young, very, very old, or otherwise are immunocompromised under treatment for some medical condition. Could be a lot of different things, but focusing in on those breeds, because it's a little bit easier to just say, you know, if you have an elderly dog, if you have a puppy, if you have a dog that's under medical treatment, don't take them outside. Don't leave them outside. It's extra bad. It's not just really bad. It's extra really bad. That sounds silly, but there are certain dog breeds that are more susceptible, and they are called brachiocephalic dog breeds. What that means is that they're those dog breeds that have a little short pushed-in nose. So think French Bulldogs, Frenchies, Bulldogs, Boxers, Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, Shih Tzus, Boston Terriers, even Mastiffs, definitely Pugs. Don't want to forget the Pugs. And out of that list I just gave you, French Bulldogs are hugely popular, and all the other ones that I just listed are extremely popular as well. I see Pugs mm-hmm. everywhere, Boston Terriers everywhere, Boxers, and they're wonderful. But the reason that they are in danger from heat and then especially excessive walking is because their airways are so short that mm-hmm. they can be obstructed very easily. So they can have difficulty breathing, decreased capacity for keeping their temperature regulated. So it's not as easy for them. They're not as their bodies aren't as efficient at cooling off via panting. And so you really have to extra watch those guys. It's tough. Yep.
Yeah, it is. I like to call them designer dogs.
Yes.
I like a good old mutt any day over a little designer dog. They're so much, such better pets, and they don't have as many medical problems, because the reasons that the little French bulldog, don't they breed them that have that short airway? Don't they do something to them and cut off their tails too, so they look the way they're supposed to, which is ridiculous in my opinion, but is it true?
You know, honestly, I'm not as familiar with that. I'll have to look it up, because I'd hate to tell you something that's not right. I mean, I know there are lots of different breeds where people do cut off tails and ears and so forth, which is I am never
horrible.
A fan of that. Just, I love how they're born naturally. Any dog breed, any cat, any just they come out great, just like they are.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's about a quarter of the animals, up to a quarter, it's estimated, a quarter of the animals in shelters are those sort of purebred or designer breeds. But, you know, just go out there and meet individual dogs and fall in love. And, some of them might have medical issues. And they, if they're especially when they're at a shelter and a rescue group, man, please give those little guys a second chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's so important, the work that you guys do at the SPCA and Dallas Dogger. And so people out there that don't know, what are some of the signs that your dog is overheating?
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, this is important to look for. So look for heavy panting, difficulty breathing, or if they're just so excessively thirsty, like not just a little bit excessively thirsty, but like they drink a huge bowl of water and need more and more, this is not a good sign. If they have a bright red tongue, if their mucous membranes, if you kind of gently pull up their little jowls, if their mucous membranes there are gray, that's extremely bad. If they have really thick saliva, if they're drooling excessively, vomiting, have diarrhea, if they're unsteady on their feet or staggering or just utterly lethargic, the scary part is by the time that you see signs of heat stroke visible, it's often too late. So
just
be proactive. Don't walk animals in the summer in the middle of the day. Walk early in the morning, late at night, and avoid pain and suffering and all kinds of awfulness. It's scary out there. It's been so hot.
It is. Well, that dog I told you I saw, I mean, immediately was like, he was on concrete, and I was like, oh my God, his paws are burning. You know, where's his owner? I was ready to rescue him, and because I didn't see any tags either. And I may go over there and look for that dog again and remind the guy, you need to get tags on your dog because, you know.
Collar and tags.
You just do. You got to have tags. And I'll give a shout out for Tile too, because I have tiles on every one of my dogs, even though they're on my property, fenced in, you know. You just never know. Stuff happens. And so when you can locate them quicker, the faster you find them, the faster your chances of recovering them, because the more time that goes by, the further away they can get. Because if I'm not mistaken, a dog can travel up to 7 miles in a radius from their home. Isn't that right? Something like that?
That's what I've heard. It's far, and they can be really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to find them quick. So, you know, put a tile on them, put a tag on them. So, you know, if someone finds them, they can get them back to you quickly. And, of course, the microchip is a good option as well. But, you know, and speaking of the hot paws, I saw little dogs' shoes in the pet store recently. Are those effective for keeping pet paws from getting burned on the hot sidewalks?
You know, it kind of depends, like anything, but they can absolutely protect dogs from getting their little paw pads rubbed raw, especially if you're talking about like older dogs who drag their feet when they walk. But they may be able to help, depending on the style of the shoe, be a somewhat of a barrier between that hot pavement, concrete, what have you, and the paws. But it depends if that material isn't right, if it's not thick, if it's too hot anyway, it may not protect your pet. So while, you know, it can help with some things, and some dog shoes that are designed for that purpose can help. You have to just be really careful about what you're getting and what you're doing.
Because I would imagine interruption. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that that they have to be washable. So they might, what do I want to say when something you protect from the wet? I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
Whether it's waterproof, because they also make snow.
There you go. Waterproof.
They're
probably vinyl. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you look for the right material and make sure to follow all the safety rules, your pet's probably going to be okay. But if it's just 115 outside, I wouldn't even, I don't know that shoes
don't
would help all that much.
Yeah. Okay. And so what about cats? We've got just a couple seconds. What about cats? Do they show the same signs when they're overheated?
Cats show very similar signs. As with cats, cats tend to hide things a lot more. And so if you see a cat with difficulty breathing, heavy panting, again, the same bright red tongue, gray mucous membranes, and drooling and lethargy, if you see those, any of that dog, cat, call your vet. It's an emergency. It is an absolute emergency. Yep.
And make sure they have lots of water.
Yeah. Inside the AC, make sure there's shade. Protect your pets. We all know that they're our family, and so of course, keep them safe. Keep them indoors in the AC. Spay and neuter those sweet babies, and adopt, please, from shelters
Absolutely.
And rescue groups.
All right, Maura. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. I'm excited about the show. We've got Ingrid Newkirk coming up next, and you're not going to want to miss this. The topic is this: why grocers are refusing to sell certain coconut water brands. You're not going to want to miss it. And Patty Dawson as well from Dallas Dogger. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
You better get yourself together. Gonna be dead.
Everyone, you're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and our very special guest today, Ingrid Newkirk. She is the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA, the largest animal rights organization in the world with more than 6.5 million members and supporters worldwide. She is the author of more than a dozen books that have been translated into several languages, including her latest, which I have right here with me, Animal Kind is her latest book. It's remarkable. It's remarkable discoveries about animals and revolutionary new ways to show them compassion. PETA focuses its attention on the four areas areas in which the largest numbers of animals suffer the most intensely for the longest periods of time, in laboratories, on factory farms, and in the clothing trade, as well as the entertainment industry. You can find them at PETA.org. That's PETA.org. Always a pleasure. Ingrid, how are you doing today? I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I'm fine, Bernadette. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Well, same here. Same here, sister. It's hard to have you on the show without just saying that you have changed the world. You have literally changed the world. I got PETA's most recent newsletter, 40 years of your accomplishments, and it's just remarkable what you've done. And it just goes to show you that one person can change the world, and I commend you for it. And I know a lot of other people do as well.
No, can't allow it. Can't allow it, because I am so indebted to every single person who decides to do one little thing. You know, it all accumulates. It's like bubbles on a boiling pot, is that if everyone did something for animals, it would be a different world, and we've got lots of work to do.
Yes, we do. And you're, as always, you're humble. You're one of the most humble people that I know, which just adds to your charm, by the way. But, you know, this topic that we're addressing today is very important. When I heard about it, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Where does the madness stop when it comes to animal cruelty? So today our topic with Ingrid is why grocers are refusing to sell certain coconut water brands. So, you know, like I said, we're thrilled to have you back on One Life Radio. So grocers around the world have stopped carrying certain brands of coconut water. Will you please tell us why?
I will, and it was quite a shock to grocers and to us and to consumers. We conducted an investigation in Thailand and other countries at the end of last year, and all through the summer, we went to 13 different locations in Thailand where monkeys are kept enslaved. There's no other word for it. They're on chains. They're prodded and pushed and hurt if they don't behave. They're sometimes kept in cages, even out in the rain, and they are used as coconut picking machines. They are trained with force, with captivity, to go up the tree and knock all the coconuts down, sometimes 1,000 a day. They have absolutely no life whatsoever.
Wow.
A mother monkey will hold her baby sitting tired, chained to an old tire or to a tree trunk, and that's her life. She has to put her baby down and go up the tree, get the coconuts, come back. And they will carry those monkeys from pillar to post, from one farm to another, in the back of a truck, all weather conditions, just so that they can harvest those coconuts. So that's why people are saying, if it comes from Thailand, look at the brand very carefully. Look it up. Make sure. Just don't buy it if you have any doubts.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out here for Harmless Harvest, because that's a brand that I do know that doesn't participate in this. But, you know, I have to ask you, you know, how do these companies condone this type of cruelty? Aren't there laws in place to prevent slavery, whether it be animal or human slavery?
Well, I have to agree with you. Harmless Harvest, if you see that brand, you can buy it. They don't use monkeys. And we verified that. And a lot of these other places in other countries, like Indonesia and Vietnam and so on, in South America, they use machines, or they hand pick, or they use ladders, or whatever, or they grow these dwarf coconut trees. So they don't use monkeys. But Thailand is a huge offender. They have laws on the books. For example, Bernadette, you're right. There's a law that says that you cannot take monkeys from the wild and put them into hard labor or use them in other ways that are cruel. And yet they're flouted. They don't care. Nobody from the government is checking up. And in fact, when we released this expose, the government stepped in immediately. They panicked, as well they should. And they said, oh, no, it's not a problem in Thailand. And anyway, this, I love this, not a problem. But anyway, if they do use monkeys, they're well treated.
Wow. So, other than a Harmless Harvest, are there any other brands that are safe that we know to buy, or is it just simply avoid the brands that say, made in Thailand?
We have to be very careful, and hopefully, I mean, one of the things to do that is even more important, well, to answer your question, yes, buy from other countries or buy from Harmless Harvest. You can buy coconut water. They don't use monkeys for that. It's the coconut milk and the coconut cream that you have to watch for. Those are the problem areas, and if they come from Thailand, leave it on the shelf. There are two brands. One's called Aroy D, and one's called Chow Co. And that's C-H-A-O-K-O-H. Those are both bad. And you can't really trust very much. You can look at our findings, but the companies immediately, as with the government, try to say, oh, well, we make sure. You know, the usual wording is we try to make sure our animals are taken care of. And you think, right. Yes, right. Look at the photos, look at the video, look at the evidence, look at the investigators' signed statements, and there's nothing further from the truth. These animals are sorely abused, and they really are denied everything that's important to them. And what you see on the video, Bernadette, is these animals going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's like a tick-tock clock because they're on their chains. They can't get off. They walk as far as they can. They turn and they come back. They've gone crackers. They've gone mad out of confinement. Yeah. And, you know, so if it's from some other country, especially from South America, Central America, Brazil, you can buy it. But most importantly, please, if you spot this Thai coconut milk and cream on your shelves in the supermarket, complain to the management, go to the website, tell them, join the boycott, take it off.
Yeah, I love it. I just the work that you guys do is so incredible. It's kind of funny. I wish you were here in the studio with me. My cat, Dean, the dance machine, that's what we call him, of course, for all rescues. The crashing that you're hearing is he decided to come up on top of the desk. He knows you're on the line. He's like, oh, Ingrid's on the line. I need to eavesdrop here. But he's knocking stuff over while I'm trying to talk to you. But, you know, animals bring so much delight to our life. And they make us laugh. You know, they release endorphins, all kinds of wonderful things that make us feel good. In fact, Psychology Today just did a story in their most recent issue about how dogs are so incredible. I mean, all animals are, and just what value they bring to us, especially during this time that we're all in crisis with the COVID-19. They provide a lot of companionship and love and oxytocin and all those things that we need to be happy. But, you know, it's difficult to know if any of the products that we purchase are really cruelty-free. So how do we purchase responsibly in regard to animal welfare?
I think we should always look. To answer your other question and this too, some of these companies have actually put a picture of a monkey on the label and then crossed it out, and it says no monkeys involved in the production of this product. If they've gone that far, then they're clean. I think we always have to check. We have lots of lists on the PETA.org website. And in the book Animal Kind, I list so many things that people can buy that are wonderful options to things that are cruel. I do believe you can't really trust what manufacturers often say unless they've signed a statement of assurance or they have the leaping bunny, which means not tested on animals, or the vegan logo on their product. And you go to their website, ask them the question, have a look, or come to our website and look for a list of what you can and can't buy if you care about animals and you don't want to support cruelty, because there are so many products.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are. And thank you for the wonderful gift that you sent me with the Bliss products for the face fluff. The pink. It was so pretty. I actually did it the other day, gave myself a little facial. And, you know, there are a lot of good companies like that out there. And, you know, so what's your advice, Ingrid, for people out there that are just feeling so overwhelmed with the world's problems right now? And they really want to help, but they don't know where to start. What do you say to them?
I say don't get overwhelmed, whatever you do, because everything good is depending on you not to be overwhelmed. And you can't look at the big picture. You can't look at all the world's problems. There are just too many of them. I mean, you could just pick one thing, like war, and just get so depressed. But no, let's do all the good we can do. And one of the things that we can easily do is when we shop, make sure our money isn't going to hurt. It's going to help. And that can be true no matter what you're thinking about that you care about. So, you know, be a consumer who really has a conscience, is making a difference, and at least is not contributing to harm and violence and persecution and all these things that we don't like. But we're contributing to good. So just pick a little thing and make sure that whatever you're doing doesn't involve an animal unless it's taking your dog for a walk or playing with your cat. And just concentrate on the bright things in life and the good things that you're doing to help improve the world.
I love that message. I do. And you guys have done so much work. As I said, I just recently got your 40 years of victories for animals. And I'm going to, you know, we love our horses here in Texas. And I'm going to go back to 1984. I know you'll probably remember, of course you will, our actions to help close down Texas slaughterhouse operations that trucked in 30,000 horses annually and left them to starve in frozen fields without shelter. That's the kind of work that you guys do that is just astounding and provides so much good for the world.
Well, thank you very much, Bernadette. And of course, one of the things we're working on now is stopping American racehorses from going to be slaughtered for meat in Korea. We tell people, please don't go to the track and please don't bet on horse racing. Choose something else to do until they clean their act up, because horses don't want to be kept this way anyway.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that you guys are working on too is in the clothing trade. I saw it on your website. It's about, you know, the skins and the trauma behind them, where these animals that are no longer wanted are transported on these long, long hauls across the oceans with no food, no water, just incredibly bad conditions, and then killed so inhumanely as well. Can we talk about that for just a second?
Certainly. I think what you're referring to is what would shock most people deeply. And this is yet another expose, but it truly is horrific, of where meat comes from, where leather comes from, all over the world. And usually the flesh is eaten or exported. A lot of it goes to the Middle East from various countries. But the leather ends up on a handbag that might be marked made in Italy, even though it came from Turkey or Afghanistan or who knows where. And what we show in the video, which was a wonderful investigative journalist took this video for us, absolutely marvelous man, Manfred Karaman, and he shows these poor cows in various countries all over the world actually being loaded onto ships with a crane. Can you imagine the fear that they must have gone through being lifted up in the air and with a crane put on a ship to be transported overseas? Live cows are being shipped for dairy to Uruguay, Paraguay, from North America. Animals in Turkey and Afghanistan and all these places are being shipped to Germany. But the leather ends up in places you wouldn't expect, which is all over the world. No idea of the origin of it, no idea what the animals went through. And so we've put that on our website. If you have the stomach to watch it, then I think you will be beyond appalled at where leather originates. But if you don't have the stomach to watch it, simple thing is just avoid animal leather. Nobody needs it anymore. We've got all these other options we can buy.
Well, yeah, and you know, I spoke about Psychology Today earlier in the broadcast, and I want to bring it up again because they did an article, which I know you're aware of as well, by Mark Beckhoff as a PhD, Animal Kind. He talks about your book and that science shows that we must coexist with kindness. It was an interview that they did with you and Jean Stone.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, how else can we coexist? And COVID has shown us that, because it's come back to bite us, that we're taking away all the animals' land. Wildlife is being squeezed into almost nothing. Then those species are interacting closer with each other than they would do naturally. And then we're seizing them and putting them in markets. China has just decided that it is closing its live poultry markets. And I'm thinking, you know, if China can do that because it recognizes the disease potential that comes even from domesticated, if you will, I mean, intensively raised chickens, then what's wrong with us? Can't we ban live poultry markets in California, Texas, New York, all these places? Because if you visit them, And again, unfortunately, our people have to go out and visit them and photograph and video and record what they're seeing. You see the blood and the offal and the water all mixed together going out into the street, going onto people's shoes as they tread through it. That's all the potential of viruses and bacteria. And we have been told over and over again that the next pandemic, it's not if, it's when. And right now in China, there is a new potential pandemic on a pig farm with workers getting sick and pigs getting sick. And in Italy, just yesterday, they decided 100,000 minks are being killed because COVID-19 has been found to infect workers and minks on those fur farms.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Ingrid, for speaking so eloquently again about all the problems that with animal cruelty across our whole world. And thank you for all the work you do. Seriously, it's so important for all of us. And I hope that everyone out there listening really opens their mind a little bit, because I think, you know, so many people are so worried about something as simple as, oh, they're going to take my hamburger away, you know, and that's really not what, you know, I'm just breaking it down really, because you know, the email that I'm talking about from Mike that I shared with you, and we just need to, you know, reach a higher level of consciousness where we understand that this is not okay how we are treating animals all over the world. And we will not have peace on earth until it stops as well.
Thank you, Bernadette. It is so easy to be kind. And any resources Peter can offer anyone, we're here for you. We'll have mentors or anything. And the best thing you can do is take your own hamburger away from yourself, because we don't have the power to, but we do have a whole list of alternatives that are tasty, good for your arteries, good for the earth, and really good for the animals.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I love your sense of humor.
Thank you, Bernadette. Best to you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. All right, everyone. We've got a great show continuing on. Patty Dawson with Dallas Dogger. It is Furry Friday, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. We'll be right back. Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I have Patty Dawson on the line. It's our Furry Friday, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. They are one of our new sponsors, and they are an incredible dog food company that I use personally, and it is wonderful to be partnered with them. How are you doing today, Patty?
I'm great. How about you guys?
Really, really good. You know, Patty, again, another, you're just another amazing woman out there doing so much good work to help animals, and I commend you for it. For people that maybe haven't heard you on the show before, let me read your bio. Patty started volunteering with Dallas Dogger in 2014. She established their nonprofit status in 2015, and then Patty began running the rescue by January of 2016. In her real work life outside of her volunteer work, she is a behavior specialist and a mom and a wife. Their website is Dallas Dogger, and that's D, so Dallas, and then dog, and then like capital R, capital R, capital R, .org. So DallasDogger.org. And the reason I want to get that out there is because I want to ask people, even if it's $5 a month, to get on your auto pay program to provide you with some funding so you can continue to keep the streets of Dallas clean and safe, these animals safe from harm. So let's talk about this. So what's going on with Dallas Dogger right now, and how can we help during COVID?
It's been crazy. Like, it's been like a roller coaster, like everybody's experience with the whole COVID. Like, the influx of adoptions was real high. Like, we had a high increase of volumes of fosters. It was kind of slow into the whole COVID, kind of like, oh, this isn't real. And then we're actually starting to see more of an impact of COVID in the fact of, which I saw foresee coming, was the need of people no longer be able to care for dogs that they have, and financial needs and the burden, and being evicted. That is a huge number one call I'm getting right now, is people being evicted and no place for their dogs to go. Divorce. I've had people getting divorced and they have no place for their dogs to go, which, you know, looking for temporary fosters to hold the dogs while they get a place, not necessarily wanting to surrender, just needing help, needing resources. So that has, I would say, in the last last month, but increased in the last 2 weeks, is our, is a huge focus for us right now, figuring out how we can help them.
Yeah. I would never get rid of my dog, divorce, whatever, you know, when I, if I go down, my dog's going with or all 11 of them in this case. But yeah, I just think that's an excuse. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to be very transparent. I don't think there's ever a good excuse, really. It's like to get rid of your child. You know, that's how I feel about it. And oh my gosh, it just breaks my heart when I think about that. Someone just dumping their dog because, you know, especially over a divorce. I mean, if you can't afford to feed them, that's different. You can, I don't know. And that's why I feel so passionate about what you're doing right now. If anyone out there that still has a job or has a little money, I encourage you, even if it's just $5 a month, to help this organization out. They are one of the best organizations in the Dallas area that is out there really doing hands-on, like in the trenches kind of work. That's what you guys do. You take the worst of the worst, not just the pretty little fluffy designer dogs that are easy to play. You guys take the ones that really need the most help, don't you?
It's funny you say that, because yesterday I was at the vet and we had just rescued this dog from Dallas Animal Services. He was a puppy that came in that got adopted and returned. I don't believe they ever took him for vaccines post the one he got from DAS, because he came back in as, I believe, a distemper survivor. He's inbred. He's a mess. He was on the post for... we've named him Ed Ducky. He is awesome. He's got some distemper residues, some twitching, some stuff going on neurologically, but he was a dog who would have never got out of the shelter. And why I say that is, I took him to the vet and our vet looked at me and he goes, she said to me yesterday, she said, okay, I'm starting to question. She's like, in the last week, all I have seen, or the last couple of weeks, is dogs that are paralyzed, that are not walking. She goes, are you taking any normal dogs? Like, do you have any dogs on your... And I'm like, yes, we do. But we have our influx of really needy dogs has increased too. Like, we do a good balance, but yes, we do take the worst of the worst, the unwanted, the ones left behind, the ones that nobody else is going to take.
Yeah. And how many foster animals are you caring for right now?
When I saw the questions, I was like, let me look, because I try not to really look, because it really freaks me out. So I did some numbers last night, and we currently have 276 dogs in our care.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
That's probably one of the highest we've had in a while.
I'm hoping my kids aren't listening, but maybe I could squeeze in one more out in my doghouse, as long as it's a female. But, you know, I've got the Tom and Willie that I rescued on the roads, the country roads in Texas, you know, named one Tom after Tom Petty and one after Willie Nelson, because that's when we were listening to like old rock and old country. And I can't find him a home. And Tom is a little aggressive. He killed one of our cats about a month ago. He got in the house, the main house, which typically they're not in here, you know, because I keep them. They get plenty of interaction with me and the other dogs, the littler ones. And I think, so if you have a littler one that's female, you know, maybe I could take one more, or maybe two females to mix them up for a little while we try to find them homes and get through this crisis. I feel so strongly about it. It overwhelms me, too. I can't even imagine how overwhelmed you are with the responsibilities that you have. You know, and we had the SPCA on earlier. You and other rescue groups, you've had record numbers of fosters even prior to the COVID shutdown. And so
We did. In February, our numbers went up real high. I don't know, like, but then March, when the COVID hit, like, I call it, like, everybody was like, I'll have a dog. Adoptions went up. Like, I was looking at our numbers, and our intake from January to March was 325. Our intake from March to June was 401. Our adoptions from January to March were 459, and our from April to June was 358. So our, you know, like, it kind of went up. Now what's happening is some people are, of course, going back to work. So the adoptions are kind of going down because we had a big, large influx of adoptions. The need is of dogs is still up there. But a lot of those fosters now are trickling back to work. So speaking of that, one of the things we're launching while I talk about fosters is so many people tell me, oh, I can't do it. We're launching a new foster program. And it's virtual fostering.
It's called what?
One of the things, virtual fostering. So when people say, oh, I can't have a dog, I can't foster, I don't have time, we're asking them to email us. We'll send you the bios, pictures, put you in touch with the foster, and you virtually share the dog in a new network of friends that are sick of our network getting all the pictures. So you're out there getting our dogs out there in a whole new network. So all you have to do is post on your Instagram, social media, share it with your friends, and network that dog. That's all you don't need to have a dog in your house. So easy way to network some of our harder to place long-term dogs, you know, and dogs that are just maybe not getting the attention that they should.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. It's hard. Well, it's hard for me. You know, I have 11. I spend all day. Well, now I'm working from home, so which is actually a good thing. A good thing my dogs get more attention than they ever have gotten before. And they got plenty anyway. But, you know, let's go to break. When we come back, I want to read this great little tidbit out of Psychology Today about why dogs are so valuable and speak more with you about Patty and see if I can help you guys in some way.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Stay tuned, everyone. All right, more coming up with Patty Dawson. She is you're the president of Dallas Dogger now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. President. All right. We'll be right back, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
She's ready for flow. Oh, Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Yeah, keep on shining your light. Gonna make everything great. Mama gonna make everything alright. And I ain't got no worries, 'cause I ain't in no hurry at all.
Oh, this song. Ronaldo, welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. TGIF, it's Furry Friday, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. I have trouble saying their name. You can say it a couple of different ways, but they're a fantastic company. I've been feeding their pet food to my dogs and cats for years now, and I really think that that's one of the reasons that my dog, Mick in particular, is living to the ripe old age of 19 as a larger dog. So check them out, Castor and Pollux. They're a really, really good company, and it's great to have you on the air with us, Patty. So great. And all the work that you do. Patty Dawson, she's the president of Dallas Dogger, and we're talking about what we can do to help rescue, rehab, and reform during this COVID-19 crisis. So, you know, what are your major needs right now at Dallas Dogger?
Of course, funds have gone down. I mean, dogs' needs have gone up, but the funds have gone down. We initially didn't feel the impact when it first came out, we kind of were like, oh, okay, this is slowing, but it slowly has trickled down. We have noticed a significant dropping. So it is curving what we can save and what we can do. The other thing that's dropped off is our supplies. We used to get like our wish list filled where we'd get pee pads and foods. But the rescue bank for North Texas hasn't had a lot of food. So we've had a food shortage and had to put out pleas for more supplies, which also takes away from the dogs, you know, like money for my finance, you know, the medical needs and that kind of thing. So when we're saving food, you know, like we had it last month, we were out of food. So we had to do a plea for food. Fortunately, people stepped forward and we were able to stock up again. But we've not had to struggle with that, with the food bank being available and donations. And so it's just kind of curbing a little bit, you know, and just getting the dogs out there. The adoptions have dropped down, getting the dogs out there. You know, you're competing with tons of rescues in the area, shelters of dogs that need homes. So it's just, you know, networking and those kind of things.
Yeah, it's a big problem. I've been rescuing animals, I don't know, now almost 30 years, starting from when I was a child. I was always in trouble for bringing in, because I grew up in upstate New York and it was freezing cold and our cat Fluffy froze to death. And from that point on, I was like, what? And every time we get really cold, I would, you know, try to bring every dog in the neighborhood or cat I could find into our garage or basement or attic, wherever I could stuff them. But it is, but you know, dogs bring so much to us. And I want to read this out of Psychology Today. It's a little article about what we owe dogs. It says dogs have helped us weather the pandemic. And it says we may want to reconsider our relationship with them. And I think one of the important pieces out of this is like the value of animals, all animals, but especially dogs. That, and I'll read this. So being physically close to dogs has the power to release a flood of oxytocin. Studies show, and that the animals have been prescribed to help people suffering from anxiety, depression, and stress by requiring love and care. They pull us out of our recursive, spiraling thoughts, and that being with them makes us calm and happy, just as being with us makes them happy and calm as well. And they really do pull us out of our recursive spiraling thoughts. They give us a purpose, something to do, you know, reaching out and taking care of something else instead of focusing on everything that's negative out there in the world and all of our fears that everyone is dealing with right now. And I think that even fostering, even if it's just for 6 months or so, is such a great, not only a great idea, but it's just a great act of kindness that you can do for the world, for humankind, for mankind, for animal kind, for the world. And I think everyone out there hopefully is listening to your message as we ask them to maybe open their hearts and their pocketbooks just a little bit. $5 a month. You have that auto pay, right? On DallasDogger.org?
We do. On our website, we have where you can sign up for have recurring donations. And I know I say this all the time as a, you know, I used to donate to Children's Hospital and a few other people. And when they would do like the please, you know, like, hey, we need help. And I'd be like, well, I only have like $10. And I would say that's really not a lot when you look at a kid of cancer. But I got into rescue and we had a dog one time and I was like, the first donation was like $5. And I'm like, oh, that's not going to get us very far. But within an hour of me looking back in and seeing an hour of $5 donations, we were quickly at $5,000. So it adds up. Like I was one of those, and I say that not because I didn't donate, but I was one of those people that thought my $5 wasn't a value to a kid because it wasn't that much. But $5 from every person. We had a dog last week and I put out a plea, a miracle plea. The dog, I won't go into details, but he had necrotic private area and kind of the surgery was going to be $6,000 or $7,000. Well, we did not have that budgeted and our donations had been so down. And I put a plea out and I said, we need your help. Within an hour and a half, we were able to raise that money for that dog because everybody put in $5, $10. So,
and are we doing well?
It helps.
And is the dog doing well now?
Yeah.
I love it.
Doing great. He's in foster, doing great, and he'll be perfectly fine.
And my daughter responded, please, no more dogs, Mom, just so you know. but, you know, I'm my own boss, so I'll do what I want. tell us real quick about Texas North Giving Day, because this is important, and we've only got about 30 seconds.
Yes, Texas North Giving Day is a day where Texas, North Texas comes together. All the nonprofits go in, so not just us, all North Texas. We have pre-scheduled donations. You impact us to be able to, you know, save more animals. So go into our website. If you go to our North Texas Giving Day and you put in Dallas Dogger, you will see our website. You can pre-schedule a donation. That money helps us continue to do what we're doing.
I'm going to do it. Thank you so much. Patty Dawson, president of DallasDogger.org. Please help them, everyone, even if it's just a little bit. We got to go. Have a great weekend, everyone. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Make it matter.